This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to see the world for once all standing hand in hand and hear them echo through the hills
for a peace throughout the land.
She said, this is a perfect world, riding on an incline. I'm staring in your face, your photograph.
Everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Cast episode 42, where we're looking at World Class Championship Wrestling number 55 from January 15th, 1983. That's right, folks. We are in the promised land of 1983. And to join me on the journey in the promised land, I'm with Johnny Sorrow and Kelly Nelson. Johnny, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, man. Thanks. But I wouldn't say we're in the promised land quite yet. I think it's more like Moses just left Egypt. And we're wandering around in the desert right now, but we're on our way.
I don't fucking take it, because the energy level on this show is so much higher than almost anything we've seen all of 82. So 40 previous shows or so. Kelly, man, what is going on?
Happy New Year, boys. It's 1983. Finally, we never got there on Titans. It took a long time. It took a year in real time to get here. On Worldcast, but here we are, 1983. What was that? The year of Return of the Jedi, and like the A-Team started, and
wow,
a bunch of other cool things happened.
Have you been talking to Scott?
No, I turned 6 years old in 1983.
Johnny, well, you're just turning a teenager, huh?
13. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. Impressive. Yep.
For me, 1983 was the year of comic books just being on fire. You know, X-Men was the biggest thing in the world. Teen Titans,
yeah.
Nice. But, hey, we're on fire in World Class here. And I got to say, right off the bat, it feels like we've turned a corner here. The energy level seems hot. Even, like, the camera angles, it looks like a different camera angle than they've been using. Like, they're using more of, like, the crow's nest camera here. Mm-hmm. And it looked. I mean, off the angle, the damn crowd looked packed. What did you see? What do you think, Kelly? Packed?
I couldn't see any, maybe a couple empty seats, but not the swaths of empty seats that you could see even as late as like the show before Christmas night. It was still, there's still tons of empty seats, and this taping looked like it was pretty much full. So that says the angle on Christmas night got over huge, and there's a buzz in the air, that's for sure.
And oh, Andre,
what about
and Andre's on the card.
Right, and Andre's there. So yeah,
that does not hurt. We open up kind of up with Michael PSA's and Buddy Roberts interview, and kind of, you know, setting up their heel role. What else is going on here, Johnny?
Well, it's the first time we've seen Buddy Roberts, and Bill calls him the newest Freebird, and Buddy is very upset about this because I'm not new. I've been a Freebird. And Bill's trying to argue the point, but you're new here. You know, it's just Bill stinks. But it's good. It's cool to see Buddy. I love Buddy Roberts, so that put a smile on my face. And thinking about this show, when I saw the lineup, I'm like, they're doing a six man. Okay. Now, some people might think you're doing a six man, but you don't have the Freebirds in a six man tag team match. And the reason for that, though, is you got Andre. So he's going to be in the big thing. And you need to spread. It's almost like when they went to Watts, they're spreading them around the entire card because this card needs them more as singles and less as a tag. To have new, so they can wrestle these guys we've seen wrestle each other a million times. So yep. It's all Freebirds.
What do you think about the interview, Kelly?
I didn't really take too many notes. But yeah, I mean, they're going at it right from the get go. You know, it was the huge angle. They're not wasting any time getting right into it. And yeah, nice to see Buddy for sure, because it was Michael and Terry for the first couple months, and Buddy was conspicuous by his absence, but now he's here. Vancouver boy, like myself, is now part of the show, so let's go.
That's not part of world-class lore.
So you have a lot of, you got a lot of rednecks up in Vancouver?
Not really. It's a pretty liberal city, actually.
Yeah. Buddy's just a good actor.
Yeah, I guess so. Because you wouldn't really know he was Canadian. You can tell, like, someone like Piper is obviously Canadian. But Buddy Roberts is, you know, I never really felt like, oh, he's obviously Canadian.
And that leads us into their match, which led to a Buddy Roberts versus Brian Adias match, Kelly. And what are your thoughts here?
Well, it's the new year. It's 1983, and we still have Brian Adias in the curtain jerker spot. So not much has changed, and the result of this match is actually pretty much a repeat of 80% of the matches from 1982. Anyways, so Roberts, he's full on heel right away. Hayes also is now firmly a heel. There's no real shades of gray. And let's see, Mercer. Here's a comment. Hayes says, I didn't get where I am today by having people clap for me. I guess that was before the match, so I did take some notes. Oh, okay. Mercer doesn't seem to be too outraged or concerned by any of this, really, though. He's pretty blasé and not really selling it like you would, you know, a great commentator would have been.
Yeah, this ain't Jim Ross going, the damn Freebirds smashed Gary. And he's like, oh, that happened. It was interesting.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Could you imagine if they had a good announcer like a Jim Ross being able to get this feud over?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
How much hotter it might have got? I mean, how can you imagine?
I know. I made a note of it at some point where, you know, I can't believe that Mercer and Saldi, that was actually the better thing than Mercer alone. Like,
we're sorry, Jay Saldi.
It's true, though. It's true. It's Mercer on his own is just, it's unbearable almost. And we're just getting started.
I saw that he was so marble mouth, though. I mean,
yeah, maybe it was because he was providing some unintentional comedy that, you know, you weren't really concentrating on the actual output. And now that it's just Mercer alone, you actually realize he's not really saying anything of consequence at all. Yet.
But I mean, for me, neither one of them off brought anything, and now no. At least we only have one, so we actually have less talking coming from commentary.
I don't know. But to Kelly's point, though, as all these marble mouths and dumb and ridiculous as he was, he'd be outraged at the Freebirds right now. Whereas,
that's a good point.
Yeah, Mercer's just, like I said, too blasé about it all. Another note about the whole vibe here. The fans in World Class, they're so forgiving of the baby faces. Like, Brian Adias is beloved by the fans. I mean, he's horrible, but the fans...
Well, he's Kerry's workout partner.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it shows you the power of the rub, but... Also, it's just, it's not like up north, you know, by this time, even up north, the fans are starting to turn on a lot of the baby faces.
Oh, yeah, the bloom is off the rose up north. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, getting boring chants throughout the matches. Down here, it's like everything's fine. Tom Boogaloo Shaft, fuck yeah, we love him. and a bunch of other scrubs. Ryan Adias. Anyway. Did I make any notes on this match? No, my only note is that it's a draw, and they couldn't have Buddy Roberts go over in his debut. They had to do a fucking draw.
Well, hell, neither of the Freebirds went over here.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher. Like, Adias had to be protected. Why? He's done jobs almost every week.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kelly. I mean, I was thinking the same thing, but then I'm like, you know what? Why am I questioning it? Because they drew a shit fucking ton of money, you know?
Well, we know the end result, but it's just quizzical, some of these decisions.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was like, what the fuck? Is he doing a draw with Brian Adias?
But that's how you get guys over, draws. That's what we do here in World Class Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, that's a calling card.
Well, Fritz, what were your thoughts here on the match?
Well, there was one guy in the crowd... who was loudly chanting, "Go, buddy, go, buddy." There are forgiving of all the baby faces, like you say, but they're still Freebird fans, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah, there was,
you know, they're still Freebird fans, especially when Hayes is in the ring later. So that's neat to have in the crowd. I mean, the overwhelming majority is going to be go home Freebirds, but there's still going to be people like, fuck yeah, I'm with them, which is a dynamic that's never happened there before. Fucking Lawrence announces. I don't know why he tries to be fancy, because he introduces Buddy as one of the fabulous three of the Freebirds. No, one of the fabulous Freebirds. Why is that hard? Jesus, between the announcing and the commentary in this promotion, it's amazing how, I mean, we see how good it gets. On the talent level, the talent just come in droves, but they can't get a fucking ring announcer or a TV announcer worth a shit.
Well, I enjoyed this for what it was. We all know Diaz really just flat out sucks. And the best match I've ever seen him in was a Tully Blanchard match on Mid Atlantic on the network, Tully had like a 3.5 star match with the guy.
Wow, but
Tully's incredible.
Yeah.
I thought Buddy did a good job here. The crowd was hot. I thought Roberts made Adias look as good as we've seen Adias look. This is by far the most heat we've had in an Adias match where he wasn't tagging with a Von Erich. And I thought Roberts did a good, solid job working the arm and bumped well, and was did a good job working as a heel. It wasn't a great match. It wasn't even a good match, but it was solid enough. And you're just scratching your head on why they worked a draw. Now we get a Freebirds interview, but it's hard to hear what the fuck they're saying because of the overdone music, right?
Oh, yeah, well, let's. I'm just gonna address that first.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this edit job must have happened back when they were doing the on-demand service, because it's fucked up. It hasn't been digitally changed, because they are playing a very loud instrumental Lynyrd Skynyrd ripoff.
Yeah.
But you can also hear Freebird when it has the silent parts. You hear Ronnie Van Zant going, "If I leave." So it was just sloppy, and they didn't bother to redo it with the way they do it now when they get new footage. They just put this up the way they did it that time.
Yeah.
So you could barely hear anything, which was a pisser because I remember this.
Yep.
So and I loved it because they're at the Freebirds' house. Bill Mercer's at the Freebirds' house interviewing them, and they're giving their reasons why they did what they did, but you can barely hear them because of this incredibly fucked up dub job. But apparently, the Freebirds like to shoot pool and read.
Yes.
Because they've got like 18 bookcases full of books. Who would have thunk it? You know, they like to drink Jack Daniels, snort coke off a hooker's tits, shoot pool. Buddy likes to walk around with no shirt on in the house for some reason. You know,
don't forget about the golden showers they like to
do. Oh, yeah, golden shower. They've got a whole bathroom for that. That's why Buddy's got no shirt on right now. But and lots of books. But it's really great. I mean, you do you get the big stars and bars in the back, Georgia flag and everything, which we'll just leave that there. It was another time, you know, if it's still the flag, that's a problem. But anyway, but from my memory of this, minus the dub bullshit, it's awesome. There's like, we don't take any shit, you know, not from Von Erichs and not. And then they get mad at Mercer and kick him out because he's fucking insulting them in their home. And it's good stuff. I'm with just Freebird. But this is it was kind of almost unwatchable with this dub job.
Yeah, how bad did this the dub job kill it?
This is as bad as any dub job I've ever seen. It overwhelms the audio. It's so loud. And it has to be this, like Johnny said, like a vaguely Freebird sounding song. That is just like the worst elevator version of it. It's horrible. But yeah, otherwise it's great. Buddy walking around shirtless. The library, where at some point they'll be discussing, you know, Sartre or Kant or philosophy deep into the night. That's what I'd hope
for. Well, you know, Terry. I believe that the more Jungian philosophy with psychotherapy, bullshit, Michael, Carl Jung all the way, he sucks. I'm a Freud man.
Oh my! But yes, if you ignore the dub job, it was something that did a great job of getting the Freebirds over as assholes. And that's what they are now, and that's what's going to draw a lot of money. In Dallas in 1983.
Yeah, it's a great segment in real time. Terrible segment on WWE Network. We'll just leave it at that. And that leads us into Michael P.S. Hayes versus Latin Heartthrob Al Madrill. Kelly, man, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, it was all right. Lots of boos for Hayes, but still, like Johnny mentioned, a lot of cheers. And we got great heat, though. Crowd's really into this. It's fascinating to see Hayes' first match in Dallas after the turn. Never seen this before. The angle got over huge. Huge heat.
I'm going to interrupt real quick. Noticeably, police presence is up.
Yes, that too, yeah. Yeah, I'm who knows what was going on after Christmas night, death threats maybe.
Yeah.
Things got crazy quickly.
Yeah, there's definitely a squad there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the good old days, man. Shit. This is stuff that I wish I was older when this happened and I got to appreciate it more. Back and forth action, and then Jose Lothario runs in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and attacks Hayes, and it was after Hayes was choking Al for too long, and it looks like Jose and Michael Hayes have an issue here, Jose challenges Hayes to a future match, and I'm interested to see if we're going to get any of this play out on the TV that we have.
We do.
Okay, good.
They have a match.
Awesome.
And they also have a match also on the main show, Saturday night show?
The Fort Worth show, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's on YouTube. What are your thoughts, Johnny?
The match was okay. It's the same thing. I was just like, nothing great, but it was neat seeing Hayes be a heel for the first time. You know, still doing a few. You didn't even realize, some of his mannerisms that get booze here got cheers 2 weeks ago. You know, that's neat. The strutting and the clowning around that people loved 2 weeks ago. Now it's fuck that asshole and his fucking showboaty bullshit, you know, which I love. And fucking Bill gets in. He's talking about Michael Hayes' love of where he comes from. And he says he loves that South feeling. I was like, yes, so do I. I don't know anyone who doesn't like a nice feeling in the South. And when Jose came in, I just wrote, Jose, woo! You know, and he's fired up because he's had it with fucking Hayes, and he clobbers him with super sock. Hayes takes a fucking powder. And Jose then gets on the mic. And he's basically short to the point. He's like, you want to act like that? Well, you know, I'm a bad man. You know, I'll meet you, you know, punch for punch. And I want him anytime, and I want him any place. Just perfect. Perfect. You know, you want to cheat? I could cheat, and I'm a bad motherfucker, and I want you, you know, anytime, any place. That's my favorite kind of wrestling promo. Short, to the point, and badass.
Yeah, what do you think of the promo, Kelly?
Yeah, good stuff. Jose's, you know, he's legit. You believe what he says. You believe he's a badass, believe he's a tough guy. And it's always good to see him. I mean, he comes and goes. You know, he's gone for a couple months and he's back. And, I enjoy him a lot. More and more Jose, the better.
I really enjoyed this match. One, we get this molten hot crowd. I'm loving all Hayes' powders to the outside because it noticeably gets heat, more heat, bigger heat, flaming hot heat. Every time. Hayes totally has the crowd in the palm of his hand, showing what a great master of, like, psychology he has here of working a crowd. Hayes is in full heel control. You know, he does have his peppering of fans, don't get me wrong, but this crowd wants to fucking kill him. Madrill, I liked him as the opposite. He was full of fire. Loving Hayes here, and Madrill is a great opponent for this crowd. And the crowd is nuclear on Madrill's comeback, just absolutely nuclear. Then we get the big Hayes cut off at the finish, and Jose Lothario out for the save, and it's chaos and hot. And then we get a killer promo by Jose Lothario, which, you know, you wouldn't believe it with all the interviews we had here. I mean, in real, you know, on the non-network version, I'm sure the Freebirds interview in their home was number one, but here, man, Lothario's interview was fucking awesome.
Oh yeah.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceforNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And that leads into a David Manning on the interview. What were you thinking here, Johnny?
I was thinking I wanted to hang myself when they said, "Next up, David Manning." I'm like, really? He gets a going into commercial promo coming up next, David Manning, and this isn't the last of it. We're gonna. And there he is, David, in his stupid coat with his ugly, stupid face. And he's there to explain how this fucking battle royal, six-man battle royal thing in the main event is happening. And I'm like, why? Why is he doing this? Why is he there? Why is he the one to explain the rules? What the fuck? Who does he have pictures of? No referee does this. You know, he's like, I'm here to explain the rules of this match. Well, that isn't that Bill Mercer's fucking job? You know?
He can't do it.
You know, I can't understand any of this bullshit. Let's have Manning do it. But then it's because, and here's Andre the Giant, because David Manning is a little fucking asshole, and he's like, I'm going to be on TV with Andre the Giant. And that's what it probably is. At least some of that. Because then Andre comes out, and Andre's, of course, always awesome. And you can tell Andre, he's just being his friendly giant self. Hey, Bill. You know, this is my paycheck. I don't give, you know, you can tell Andre doesn't give one flying fuck about anything that's going on in this promotion. You know, this is just, he's on his loop. But I wanted Andre to grab David Manning like he did to Bob Uecker at WrestleMania and but do it for real and snap his little twig neck.
Now, could you imagine if David Manning turned heel and they screwed Carrie over?
Yes,
in the cage and made him like the heel manager of the promotion.
Well, you know what?
He's a good enough talker.
He can talk and he can bump. That's just it, Pete. That's a great point. If they made him a heel manager, you know, start as the crooked ref and then into a heel manager, I'd be all about it. I'd be like, that's good. That's good stuff. Because he's hateable. But
us watching him now, yeah, he's hateable. But God, as a kid growing up, I loved him too.
Really?
I don't know why. I mean, he was loved. I mean, he was like loved by this crowd.
Oh, he's beloved. Totally. He's after the Von Erichs, he's the top babyface, really.
Yeah.
He's the explainer now. That's his new role. He explained the two referee situation for the cage match and the vote to who was going to be the special ref. He explained the pole match battle royal. I believe that was his job too. So he's articulate. I guess he can get
no, but he's. he could talk somewhat, but if his job is the new explainer, he's not good at it because he bubbles over the, because these rules are so fucking crazy. And he's like, well, then, you know, this man's got to do this. And I was like, what? Okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I agreed. But you know what? I'm pretty sure I don't blame him. No offense, the booking's pretty fucking confusing. like, why we carry, why is Michael Hayes again? Why is Terry Gordy out there? Oh, we're making him keeper of the key. And, like, it sounds like... It may be more confusing, but saying it out loud is even more ludicrous. I mean, they kind of said, oh, this sounds pretty cool.
He's the keeper of the key. Like,
yeah. And then you hear him as the keeper of the cage or several variations of it throughout the history now. Because they've all said it wrong. So who the fuck knows what was the right version?
They could have just called him the doorman.
Yeah. There you go. Johnny Sorrow, keep it simple. Kelly, that leads
us to gatekeeper. I think that's what they wanted to say. Because there was no key. It was just...
Well, no, the cage was locked.
Was there a key? I don't know.
I mean, you have to.
I think it was the lock where you pull and twist it, sort of thing. Not like a key opening it with a key
lock. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. It's been 35 years. Who cares?
That leads us into Andre.
Ooh.
That's some beef. King Kong Bundy, Kerry Von Erich, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, Bugsy McGraw. And of course, you got to have Wild Bill Irwin here.
Oh, of course you do.
It's Texas. What do you think of this, Kelly?
Well, they love these unique multi-man matches. They never run the same one twice. We had a Russian Roulette Battle Royal, Body Slam Battle Royal. We had a Pole Battle Royal. Now we have this random six-man free-for-all for $10,000, I believe, is the prize.
Yo, Fritz was ripping me off, bro.
Totally. It is. It's, you know, I think Russo had, quite a love for the world-class tapes or something. Anyway, so this is happening just out of the blue with no build-up. So Kerry goes right after Gordy, of course. And, oh, Bundy's wearing black boots. Woo! The King Kong Bundy that we all know and love is complete, finally.
Maybe it was Andre's idea. Maybe Andre came into the dressing room and goes, black boots, or else I know work with you.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good explanation. So Bundy's complete. Kerry was dumped right away with Hayes helping on the outside to add more heat to that. Although I kind of question, like, having Kerry in this and getting dumped right away. He is supposedly the biggest star in the company.
Well, Kelly, now that you bring that up, they are teasing. They are doing major teasing with them before you're going to see Kerry be able to get his hands on anybody. So they want to just hype up that crowd. That's why they were doing that. They got him right out of there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if he stuck around, he would have had probably too much interaction with Gordy, and yeah, you didn't want that. Good point. Bundy eliminates Bugsy, and then Andre is left with three heels, which is that's how you want to book it, of course. And Andre is just laser focused on Gordy the whole match, choking him and nerve holds. And the story goes later in the WWF when the Freebirds came in for a couple months that, they rubbed Andre the wrong way big time. And I think especially Gordy rubbed Andre the wrong way. And that was one of the reasons why they were kind of sent packing. So even back here in 1983, it looks like, who knows? Because he's kind of guzzling Gordy. But this was kind of dull, this whole match. I don't know. I didn't get into it much. I was nodding off, actually.
Totally with you, man. I thought this was the worst thing on the whole show.
Yeah, it was aimless.
But yeah, the only narrative I thought was cool was Kerry trying to get after fucking Gordy.
Right.
That made perfect sense.
Yeah.
And everything else fucking was terrible.
The crowd was hot, though, throughout the whole thing. Bless them. Irwin's eliminated. Then Andre eliminates himself to go after Hayes. Which, that's to make Hayes look even more of a ultimate heel, that's a good idea. To make him so heelish that Andre's that pissed off at him that he eliminates himself from this match. That wasn't bad booking, actually. And we're down to Gordy and Gordy. Who was the other guy? Bundy. And Gordy. Which is an interesting, unique matchup.
Yep.
Boss fight. I don't think they worked each other too often.
Well, that was the fight. That was the they worked that tag early.
Oh yeah, a couple months ago.
They showed great promise. Yeah,
right. But otherwise, I mean, no. And then this doesn't last for long as Gordy eliminates him with a drop kick. And my last note was this was kind of a waste of time.
Waste of time, but you have the Freebirds standing tall again, just putting more gasoline on them.
Right, The having Gordy win, of course, is what you want. And hey,
you can buy a lot of books with $5,000.
There you go. Get some first editions, and yeah, they'll be talking Greek philosophy next or something.
There you go.
It's explaining all this complicated bullshit to Andre, who's just making his loop for Vince. Yeah, sure, Battle Royal boss? No, it's going to be a six-man tag team. Got it. No, six-man elimination battle. What? Okay. And, just at this point, go after that Hayes, because I'm sure Andre and them knew each other before this. I'm sure they crossed paths in Georgia.
And Louisiana, exactly.
Yeah, totally. So whether or not they pissed off Andre in New York, we don't know that they weren't fine here, but because I just like Andre's guy going, okay, for the first half of this, after the Kerry shit, for the first half of this, I pick one guy and I just brutalize that guy. And everyone else is just trying to pull him off of Gordy. So he's like, who's the lucky guy who doesn't have to work tonight? I like that Terry Gordy fellow. I knew him back in Louisiana or Georgia. We're going to lay here. Because at one point you see them talking, Gordy fought out of it. They go down, and it's sort of you see him talking. I just pictured Andre going, "Just come on, we're just gonna lay here, just you and me, just sell." And Gordy's okay, sure thing. That's gonna be $5,000, and that's half the match. And it makes kind of sense because Terry Gordy's the most hated heel because the Freebirds are just newly turned, so Andre's maybe fighting, sticking up for his friends, the Von Erichs. Who knows? It makes sense, but it's long, and it's just Irwin and Bundy trying to pull Andre off of Gordy. It's the whole match, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then Andre does his sell bit, which was fun. I did like the sell bit, and I did buy it more than I did when it's usually three other heels beating up Andre in, say, WWF matches, because I was like, well, that's King Kong Bundy and Terry Gordy, and Wild Bill Irwin's a pretty big dude. That looks like it's brutal, and Andre selling was okay. Boring as fuck. But,
I don't want to hear your take on this. I want to hear your take on the fucking shitty-ass Kerry Von Erich clothing promo.
Okay. Holy shit. Kerry staring at the wrong camera. We'll see more of this. He is talking, and Kerry's fired up, which I appreciate. I mean, he's fired up at least, but he's staring at the wrong camera, which makes him just look idiotic. Adias seems to be trying to talk and cover, and he stinks. So I was like, I couldn't write anything down because I was like, this is just, I felt bad for Kerry Von Erich, and Brian Adias sucks, but all I could think about was like, Kerry's trying to cut his fired up first promo since the incident.
And then he's staring at the wrong Mercer, camera. Poor Bill Mercer having to fucking explain this fucking abortion of a fucking promo.
Oh, I know.
Don't you mean you're going to be seconding Brian Kerry not getting revenge?
Fritz isn't around. Somebody's got to hold his hand to this fucking thing.
And they can't bring out David Manning here. So,
you know what? No, they're going to do like they used to do the sign language person in the corner of the TV when we were kids.
Yeah.
That'll be David Manning going, what Kerry's trying to say here is that he's really fired up and he's going to get his hands on them darn Freebirds.
Kelly Nelson. What do you think of this fucking mess of a promo?
Oh, yeah, it was a mess. And they're all closely together in the booth thing there. And, yeah, it's bad. But, hey, next week we have an even worse Kerry Von Erich promo to announce.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on the babyface side, you have Jose Lothario, Al Madrill, and David Manning cut the three best babyface promos in the promotion.
You know what? I think, like, hold on. There's only one of those that could even be associated with the word best. And that's Jose. Because there's nothing best about David Manning, and Al is okay.
Best of the babyfaces in this promotion, right?
Okay, I guess. Oh, yeah.
And maybe David.
Fritz. How about Fritz?
Fritz is, yeah. Fritz is, well, he's up there still.
Yeah.
He was a great promo.
I liked him when he's just old.
Yeah, now he's old and he's not even wrestling anymore. So
if David Manning counts as a babyface, then Fritz Short does.
Oh yeah, he can.
I think I liked the show a lot more than you guys did. I thought this was a great first step in the right direction.
You know what it was? It was like it's that whole like, boy, it's gonna get good immediately, and then remember exactly like you said, it's definitely a step in the right direction, but it's still full of the same guys we've seen a million times. Just now we're seeing them with the Freebirds, and that's better, definitely. But we need more new blood.
Question, like you did, Kelly, like, oh wait, why is Buddy Roberts doing a draw? Why did Michael Hayes not win? Wait, you're going to forget about that because you're going to remember Terry Gordy won the big main event.
Yeah.
And the Freebirds are standing tall at the end. So, in the long run, whatever happened on the undercard really didn't hurt them.
Mm. It's three different finishes for each of them. Yeah. Buddy's a draw, Michael's a DQ, and Terry outright wins. You know, so that's smart booking.
Yeah. No, and it was throughout the whole show. It was all the Freebirds. The whole show was about the Freebirds.
Yeah.
Crowd was hot. More people there. No, it wasn't that bad of a show. It was, the matches were your typical, you know.
Well, I really enjoyed Hayes versus Madrill, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I liked it too. I guess it wasn't too long. It didn't leave much of an impression on me, but.
How many stars?
No. I think I was half asleep during most of the show, to be honest with you. I know during the Battle Royal or whatever you want to call it at the end, I was literally nodding off to where my head was like bumping onto the side of the couch.
Just like Andre's was in the match.
So I wasn't at 100%, boys.
All good. Well, on that note, man, everybody, world, anything, Johnny, what do you think you want to plug?
No, not right now. Do it next time.
Kelly?
Right. It's the first anniversary of WorldCast. I knew there was something I wanted to plug. 1 year ago, we started this journey. January 1982. Here we are, 1 year later, January 1983. We've had a lot of fun. We've watched a lot of bad wrestling. We've seen we've seen some good wrestling. We've seen some great wrestling. It's been a blast, of course. And it's the 5 year anniversary of the three of us doing podcasts together.
Yeah.
August 2013, Titans of Wrestling episode number 2 came out, I believe, today or right thereabouts. Ooh. Yeah, I know these things.
You're gonna make Johnny nostalgic. music.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, well, fuck you.
How's I might that? Just listen to a Titans of Wrestling episode tonight.
Maybe I will. Yeah, maybe I will.
Do.
Fire
maybe
up.
I will.
Fire up number two.
Maybe I will.
Skip number one. That's what we always say. Just skip number one and go to number
I've never
two.
Listened. I've never listened to number one.
You never listened to number one? Of course not. Well, now you should. Maybe you're nostalgic. You should.
No,
the first time ever, you should listen to number one with Parv and some other dude.
No,
who,
no, no.
Who
I'm
wasn't
not,
one
not,
of us?
I'm not that nostalgic. You want a dude? That dude was like. Remember the stories about the Beatles when they were a 5-man group in Germany? He was Stu Sutcliffe. He was just not needed.
See, Johnny's now retreading his jokes when he officially will have tight ends now. This is awesome.
Did I say that once before?
I guarantee you did.
I'm pretty sure, yes. Okay. We went over Beatles references several times.
Okay.
But hey, we were the podcast equivalent of the Beatles. So
keep that
fair.
Joke in your back pocket. You never know when you...
I remember calling Parv Pete Best. But that was like that was literally like I think on one of our last shows.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, everyone, follow me at Titans O Wrestling. Have a great week. Watch wrestling and watch more wrestling. Later.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on, and I could waltz across Texas with you, waltz across Texas with you. Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.
Anybody, you got any final comments?
You're welcome.
Goodbye altogether. Goodbye, everyone.
The Knights of Wrestling.
From the Knights, the Three Wise Men of Podcasting.
The Three Wise. Yeah,
that stinks. Dude, no offense. Knights of Wrestling. That's like what like 4 14-year-olds do on a YouTube show.
That was James's deal, man. No, that was James's deal. I just thought I'd run with it, you know.
Yeah. Three wise men works. Because we are delivering things to Christ, which I guess
until we start talking.
Oh, hey, well, speak for yourself, sir.